In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal: to help you score more fantasy points.
Welcome, everyone, to the Week 13 Matchup Points Podcast here at FantasyPoints.com. I am John Hansen from the website, Greg Cosell, major contributor to the new website here in 2020. He is standing by for the Week 13 podcast, which is the weirdest podcast of all time because we are currently recording this 5:35 Eastern on Wednesday, December 2nd, watching actual football. So this is a little bit of a teaser for what we bring to the table. Greg Cosell at FantasyPoints.com. On Thursdays, we do a big live stream with me, Greg, and Adam Kaplan. We go over all the matchups, in-depth injuries, and all that stuff. So today, since it's the weirdest week in fantasy history, really, at least it is in my world, we'll do a little bit more review from Greg's film study, and we'll pick up plenty of nuggets here. Greg, how are you? How does that sound? You loving the football game today?
Well, I'm actually watching football, John, but it's not the live game. I'm actually watching coaching tape, you know, because for me, it's just a normal Wednesday.
You haven't seen the coaching tape from Steelers-Ravens in Week 12 yet? Where are you? Come on, Greg.
No, I guess I'm a little behind.
Slacker.
I know.
I'll tell you what, that Randy Fitchner, man, he has never seen a pass route concept that he did not like at this point.
What's the score?
Pittsburgh is up 12-7 with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Oh, my God. It sounds like a real barn burner. It doesn't sound like – yeah, I guess this is not going to add to the pantheon of explosive offensive performances by either team?
No, it will not. RG3 has 25 yards passing. He does have 68 yards running. He popped off a 40-yarder, but
– not a surprise.
Not a surprise. Eric Ebron having a big day with 8 targets, 6 grabs for 47, did just drop a ball. But, you know, I thought Benny Snell would get a lot of carries. But Big Ben, you would think, you know, let's just –
I think he threw an interception early. Did you happen to see it?
No, I did not, actually.
Okay. I was wondering if it was a bad one or a good one.
Oh, well, you know what? It was in the red zone. I saw the tail end of the play. It was in the end zone.
Oh, okay.
I think it was a bonehead move on Big Ben's part. I didn't actually review it or all that. But it's funny.
You mentioned just for a sec, no matter what happens in this game, you know, one of the games that I find really fascinating this weekend, believe it or not, is Washington and Pittsburgh. I could just, you know, make a comment about that. I know we do this kind of off the cuff and informal. So, you know, the Steelers lead the NFL in quarterback sacks defensively. Number two team in the NFL with quarterback sacks are the Washington football team.
Wow.
I think that's pretty fascinating because one thing about Big Ben right now is we know he doesn't move as well, and we know he stands there, and we know he likes to hold the ball when he feels like he has an opportunity. And Washington has really been very good, not only with their downed four, but they've added a few pressure concepts over the last number of weeks. You know, since Landon Collins went out with an Achilles injury for the season, they moved this number 31, Cameron Curl, to play Landon Collins' spot. And I know this will come across as a bold, definitive take, but it's not because it's based on film study. But I think Curl is actually a more multidimensional, strong safety than Landon Collins.
Yeah.
And how he's being used, because he has kind of a little different skill set. So it's just, I'm fascinated to see that. Obviously, who knows how much Washington can score on offense against the Pittsburgh defense. Not many teams tend to score a ton. But just from the defensive side of the ball, I think Washington's defense is a fascinating defense.
So Cameron Curl a little bit better in coverage, because that's always been obviously the
knock. He's also a good blitzer. I think he's just a little smoother athlete than Collins.
Yeah, yeah. Collins is, boy, he's tough and gritty and big hitter, good football player. Not, you don't really think the words like athleticism or, you know, they're all athletes, obviously, but compared to the contemporaries, he's probably not as athletic as
some. No, that's my point. You know, again, like I said, maybe that comes across as a bold take, but as you know with me, John, I just react to what the film shows.
Right. Well, I'm fascinated to see, will they actually try and run the ball? Because, you know, if you mention the pressure that front seven can bring, and Chase Young, I guess he doesn't have a ton of sacks, but he's good, right? He's making an impact this year.
Without question. Six sacks, give or take. But sacks are not always the measure of whether a player has an impact. I'll give you an example. Sure. I thought Harold Landry was terrific this week, and I don't even know if he had a sack, but he showed up a lot. I don't believe he had a sack.
To your point, Joey Bosa, the week before last, had 5 quarterback pressures, the season high. Didn't get a sack.
Right, right.
But there you go. Next week, he gets 5 more quarterback pressures and 3 sacks.
So, right, right.
You know, you're getting to the quarterback any way, shape, or form, even if you don't get the
sack. I saw that game. One of them was a bust, but your point is still well, well taken that he was, you know, he was a factor.
Yeah, he was a big-time factor. But Big Ben's been averaging 43 attempts.
Yeah, I know. They throw the ball an awful lot.
Yeah. So, like, in this game today, he's on pace to throw it over 40 times in a low-scoring game.
I mean, look. Baltimore's a tough team to run against, so, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. Obviously, they only have 12 points. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here, Greg. As I mentioned, we'll do a little more review than usual. Thursday, you know, in 24 hours, we'll do the live stream at fantasypoints.com. And by the way, we slash prices. Remember Crazy Eddie? Prices are insane, Greg.
Oh, I grew up in New York. Of course I do.
They're insane, literally insane.
Yeah.
I think it's like $10 for the rest of the season, which includes playoffs. Fantasypoints.com. Hell, use the promo code Hanson10 and save even more. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's almost like giving it away, but we do want to get a lot of people on the site to see your stuff and watch the live stream and read all the content. But I wanted to talk about Deshaun Watson because I know you've watched him really closely and your thoughts now in the post.
That'll be interesting. I mean, I think Watson's playing great football. Obviously, Fuller's been a major part of that. I mean, you know, you go back to that game, you know, last week. I actually watched that at home on Saturday morning because that was a Thursday game. You know, and Watson is very controlled and efficient in the pocket. He's making far more late in the down pocket throws. He's playing really, really good football. You know, it's funny. I might have texted our good buddy Joe Dolan, you know, when Romo started talking about Watson early in the game about how, wow, he's playing good football. And I said, I texted Joe and I said, Joe, I believe I said that about 5 or 6 weeks ago.
You did.
Yeah.
You 100% did.
Yeah. And I mean, he's just really playing good football.
Well, that's what happens, Greg. You're in there in the cave and you're watching film literally hours after games end. And you're picking up on things, and then you do the same thing the next week, and then the media catches up like 3.5
Right. Well, and I don't blame these guys because they're studying their game. They're like coaches. When you do a game every week, John, you know how it is. You have to study that game. 100%. You know, 100%. I remember when Ron Jaworski was here all the time working on matchup, a lot of times he'd get calls from coaching friends of his, you know, who were still in the league. You know, a guy would call him, and these coaches would have no idea what was going on in the league as a whole other than their team and the teams they were playing against and therefore preparing for. But they didn't have a sense of the whole league because they don't have time to study that. They have to win on Sunday.
It's just like the position players. You ask an offensive lineman about the secondary, like, I got
nothing. He has no idea.
No idea. None. But, you know, some data points here. With Deshaun, because he does have the Colts twice and the Bears. I know the Bears D has slipped up a little bit, but I'm pretty concerned. You know, in his career, he has averaged 8.8 yards an attempt, 281 yards, a 7 touchdown rate with Fuller. Without him, it dips to 7.3 yards an attempt, which is mediocre, 227 and a 4% touchdown rate.
Right.
It's clear that Will Fuller has been massive. But, man, how great has Brandon Cooks looked, though? I mean, I got to give it up to Brandon Cooks. He's looked really good.
And yeah.
Any thoughts on Jordan Akins? He almost scored 2 touchdowns last week, and the week before, I thought he looked great.
Yeah, no, he moves really well. He's their most athletic tight end. I remember when they drafted him, he's the older player. He's an athletic tight end, and he could become a bigger factor now. I mean, I guess – so Cobb's out, so it's I'm wondering who that third wideout will be because it'll be Cooks and Kuti.
Isaiah Coulter.
Oh, Isaiah Coulter.
That's it.
Yes, so he's going to be their third wideout, huh?
Yeah, he is. The kid out of Rhode Island, pretty good size. I know there's some people.
I am going to pull up my draft. I did him this summer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull that up right now and tell you what I said, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Because he's obviously going to get meaningful snaps.
He's a keeper dynasty league guy.
I said, Coulter comes from the FCS level of college football, but his 2019 tape consistently featured a desirable wide receiver profile of size, speed, athletic ability, hands, and body control. As you transition him, the concerns would be play speed and overall quickness, but he's smooth and fluid, just not sudden or explosive, and the tape showed he was a bit of a one-speed vertical receiver than an extra gear guy. But I said he had traits to work with. I love the way he attacked the ball in the air.
So you would say at the end of the day, probably more of a possession guy?
Initially, yes. You know, maybe as he learns the position, because he is 6'2", so he will have stride length to his game. But so that then depends on how he learns how to run routes.
Yeah, he's going to see snaps starting now, no doubt about it. They do have some guys on the practice squad, like my nephew Chad Hansen. No relation, just kidding there. But
I remember when he came out as well.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be good.
But, yeah, a lot of people did.
Oh, well. I guess if your name's Hansen, you can't do anything in the NFL unless you're a kicker.
Basically. Right.
moving on. Oh, by the way, they're going to get David Johnson back this week, Greg.
And you know what? They could end up also, you know, depending on Coulter and how they feel about him, John, and we don't know the specific answer.
I know
to that.
Where you're going with this. Duke Johnson and
they could play both Johnsons together because both can detach and, you know, as split receivers. So, you know, I guess we don't know what that breakdown will be.
Well, what about Kuti outside?
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I'd be a little. I mean, look, teams do that now. You know, it's not as specifically defined as that it was, you know, 10 years ago. So I'm not going to say they're never going to do that, but I don't know if his traits fit out there well.
Let's move around here. I know you saw the Cowboys tape. I don't even know why I'm even going.
Well, I saw their defense. I did.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we can move on to, well, Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears.
I did see Mitchie.
Yeah, I saw that. And we all know it's not natural. Watching him play, just doesn't look comfortable or natural. Though he owns the Lions, Greg, as you probably know, he's got 3 touchdown passes in 4 straight, including one this year. They did just put Trufant on IR. You told us about how Detroit, they have been more of a man-to-man team, which makes things a little bit more defined.
Well, and again, we don't know that now because
as I mentioned,
coach was fired, so we don't know the answer to that.
Right.
So
but overall,
it's a little bit. I mean, track record, John. It's a little tougher for you. You know, you're the predictive projection guy. I'm just the guy who makes stuff up as I go. you know, so I don't know. You know, again, obviously, every team in their playbook has man and zone concepts. It's not like they'd be reinventing the wheel if they play more zone. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if they played more zone, but I don't know that for certain.
Sure. That would make sense in some sense. And you lose your head coach who's your defensive guy, you know, maybe, you know, although maybe wouldn't sticking in man be a little bit more simplistic?
Yeah, but I mean, look, it's week 13, John. You know,
right.
It's not like we're week one.
But look, we all know Trubisky turned the ball over. I was actually very optimistic on David Montgomery going into the game. I said that for people to trade for him and actually start him and all that crap. And
he had a long run, but I mean, so that helps you. But other than that, there wasn't much there.
Was there any signs of life with Trubisky under center here for the Bears? I mean, you got the ball to Allen Robinson at least.
Well, I mean, look, if you're a starting quarterback and you're going to play every snap, you know, there's going to be some numbers. But, you know, again, there he's – he's got issues which are not going to be any different this week than they have been throughout his career. He still has the same issues. You know, yeah, we talked about him being a locked front leg thrower. That limits his ability, you know, his weight transfer and ability to drive the ball. You know, that's the way he is, you know. And plus, he doesn't see things really well. I mean, the second interception he threw, this which was Savage. Savage had both interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, without – I know people can't see the play as I'm speaking, but that was a basic route concept that everybody runs, okay? It's basically what it is it's called dagger. So in other words, there's a vertical route and a dig route on the same side of the field. Yeah. He threw the vertical route right into coverage when the dig ball to Robinson was wide open. And by the way, 90% of the time, if not higher, that play is called knowing that the dig route is the throw. So I can't speak to why he threw it to I guess it was Miller on the kind of the deep over. That was it's cross country dagger. That's the vertical route. That's what it's called, the whole thing. So I can't answer that. But he's, you know, he struggles.
A little over aggressive, perhaps.
I don't know. Only he could tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just thought, and look, I'm backing him this week against Detroit. I and this is not your area, but I personally think that his confidence is sky high against Detroit. I mean, why wouldn't it be?
I mean, the only thing to keep in mind, and you and I, none of us will know this, is if Detroit comes out, you know, and plays really hard with a renewed vigor because they have, you know, we don't know the answer to that kind of stuff.
They did just put Trufant on IR.
Yeah, he got hurt last week, yeah.
And they don't have a good pass rush, so he should be comfortable. They are terrible against the run, too, so maybe they have a little bit of success. So, okay, so it doesn't sound like you really took any positives out of it. I thought, you know, open things up a little bit, move the pocket, get him on
the run. Well, you can do all those things, John, but he's not a runner in this way that, let's say, Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson is, so eventually he's got to throw the ball.
Yeah, yeah. It's just terrible to see because, you know, he wasn't this bad 2 years ago.
That's no, sad it's thing. Very strange, but, you know, that's a question that we can't answer. We just know right now he's not particularly good.
Yeah, you saw the Packers offense versus Chicago. Is this Bear D slipping up, or is it just, man, the Packers are just so good? I mean, Rodgers is absolutely ridiculous.
He's playing at really high level. I mean, I would have no problem saying that he, to me, he's playing better than he has in a number of years. He's always special 100%. Because he just throws the ball so ridiculously well. But I think in terms of playing within the structure of the offense and the offense is doing good things. And the thing that Rodgers always does, and it'll be fascinating this week if we just look ahead for a moment against the Eagles, who play about 70% single high safety, which means they're either playing man coverage or cover three, which means it's man outside the numbers anyway, is when he sees a matchup he likes. And by the way, even if it's Davante Adams on Darius Slay, that's a matchup he will like. He throws the ball and he throws it vertically. I mean, he's an aggressive thrower. He's just playing at a really, really high level. And some of their schemes and play design with Matt LaFleur have been really, really good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because it's a highly schemed offense. And all summer, all offseason, we're all ripping the organization for not getting Rodgers more help. And it's like their response this year is like, yeah, we're good. We have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we run the ball pretty well. We got a couple of backs, yeah, and we have an alpha dog stud
right
in Adams. And then we'll just scheme up plays with our brilliant quarterback otherwise, and that's kind of what they're doing, Greg.
And he's going to throw the ball. You know, I mean, look, it'll be a fascinating matchup, John. You know, I know you mentioned review, but I can't help looking ahead. I think the Eagles are in a fascinating position defensively because you'd have to assume that Darius Slay matches up to Adams. Because Adams, I personally think he's the most complete receiver in the league right as we speak today. I know that's debatable, just my point of view based on film study.
We all agree.
So let's say Slay's on him. So now you have Valdes-Scantling, who by no means is a volume receiver, but he's 6'3 and he can run. So if you're going to play man coverage and you're the Eagles, are you comfortable with Avante Maddox, who's 5'9", matched against Valdes-Scantling, who's a 6'3", 4'3", 8 guy? You know, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there. You know, I don't know the answer to that, 100%. But I think that's a little you know, that's potentially problematic.
Well, and that's what we're looking for from you, basically. We want, you know, takes like that. You don't even have to make the damn prediction. You can just say, this is a real spot that I'm intrigued by. The only issue is Alan Lazard can do a lot of the same things.
Yeah, but you could put Lazard in a slot where you got Roby Coleman because LeBlanc is, I believe, on IR. So now you have Roby Coleman, who's also 5'9", and Lazard 6'3". So, you know, yeah. And now they're playing Equanimeous St. Brown, more snaps, and he's also in the 6'2", 6'3" range. So, you know, you've got issues here just from a size perspective.
Yeah, so it might not be one of those 13 catch games for Adams. It might be, you know, 6 for 72.
But he will throw it to Adams, I'm telling you right now.
For sure.
It's man-to-man outside the numbers. He's going to throw it to Adams.
I have Adams catching 7 balls for 84 yards with an 80% chance of scoring. So,
right. I mean, you know.
100%. Yeah. But your point's well taken. We're looking for a sleeper. Again, it's not easy because, by the way.
I wouldn't be surprised if again, because we know he's not a volume guy, and there's some weeks he's not, you know, seems like a ghost. But Valdes-Scantling seems like a very interesting guy to me this week.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on to Seattle, DK Metcalf. You were, I think, the first to use the Julio Jones comp. I kind of saw a little. It's ironic because Jim
Schumer, when I watched, you know, as I said, I watched a ton of guys this summer in my house, and he was one of them, and I kind of saw that comp. I mean, I knew he had some work to do. And by the way, he's improved as a route runner this year.
Yeah. But I thought it was ironic. And I saw that too. When you said, I'm like, yeah, that, I see that. But, you know, the whole Jim Schwartz thing, the Calvin Johnson comp, kind of blew my mind because I kind of hit me watching DK the other night. I'm like, you know what? There were a couple runs where I'm like, he does look like Calvin. But where's the ceiling for this guy? Like, it's just, he's so big and imposing and fast, and they're using him really well. Like, I'm thinking this guy might be the number one fantasy pick at wide receiver next year.
Could be. The ceiling is probably above his head, though, John, don't you think?
Yeah, right. I mean, is he potentially a 100-catch guy?
I think he's starting to become, as this year progresses, not every single game, but I think there are signs that he's becoming more of a volume guy. And I think that will only continue. He's not going to get worse. I hear he's a good kid and a hard worker, so it's not going to get worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just deep stuff. Like, you know, sideline routes. He's kind of – would you say a full route tree or not yet there, but closing in on that?
Full route tree? I don't know if any receiver runs, quote unquote, a full route tree. That's one of those things that a lot of people love to talk about with receivers coming out of college. So, you know,
what you would expect from advanced second year player?
Last year as a rookie, he predominantly, and I don't have numbers in front of me, but I would say a higher percentage of the time he lined up as a boundary X and ran a limited number of routes that played to his strength. Vertical routes, crossing routes, slant routes, routes that got him on the move. This year, they've clearly moved him around a lot more, and he's added some routes where he actually, you know, has to, you know, make more precise breaks and cuts. So, you know, is he going to start to run more routes just as he gains more experience? Yes. Is he going to ever become, you know, the best route runner in the league? Probably not, but he's certainly lining up in more places this year.
By the way, while we're watching Pittsburgh, how does Chase Claypool's rookie year compare to DK even this year or last year?
I mean, I don't think it's anywhere near as good. You know, the question is, can Claypool become that guy over time? We don't know that. You know, Claypool's one of those guys that's made a ton of spectacular plays, and he's that guy because he is 6'4", 235, or somewhere in that range. And obviously he can run fast in a straight line, and they use him in multiple ways to get him the football where he can get it on the move. That's what you try to do with guys who are straight line guys and run fast, is you want to get them the ball on the move. But he's made a lot of spectacular plays that appear on highlight shows, but he's not been a volume target.
Right. He's kind of emerging a little bit, maybe as their second receiver, but it's him and Juju.
I mean, I don't know how many targets he has this year, John, but he's not been a volume target.
Right. No, that's true. It's steady, but it's not high volume every week.
Right,
it's every week, but it's not ridiculous here. I would guess his high is probably 8 on the season, and maybe he's come close a few times. Actually, no, he's had double-digit games here, 11, 13. But, yeah, oftentimes he's at 8, 9, something like that lately. Russell Wilson and their offense was a little bit of a weird game. They do seem to be trending back, correcting from, you know, maybe they're a little too pass happy to they're clearly looking to run the ball. I thought Carlos Hyde looked great, by the way, despite the numbers here. But any other thoughts on the Seahawks offense right now? They are somewhat limited, you know, outside of DK, you know. So
yes.
I think they're going to stay balanced here, Greg.
I think they are too. And I think with this being Carson's first game back, they didn't want to overwork him, John. But I would expect he'll, you know, not that Hyde will never get carries, but I think Hyde had 15 carries. I forget how many Carson had, but he had nowhere near 15. But like I think 8. Carson will end up slowly becoming the number one back, whatever that means in terms of carries. But,
yeah,
you know, he's a really good back. People can say what they want about backs, but Carson is a really good back.
By the way, right now it does look like they're going to have that 1-2 punch. I agree with you, obviously, on Carson. I think we'll see more snaps and touches. But again, I think that's going to be the identity of the offense going forward, Greg, believe it or not. And by the way, Rashad Penny, little birdie, telling us that he looks great. They're gonna roll out Rashad Penny, Greg, pretty soon.
Are they?
And work. Yeah. Think about that. That three-headed attack, maybe, if they opt that to go that. I mean, that's so three big dudes. And, you know, they move pretty well, too, for their size. Eagles, I hate to even go here because it's been so just over-dramatized in our area. But and you don't need to go nuts with it, but I'm starting to get a little annoyed by everyone throwing Wentz under the bus. I mean, it's been bad. There's no doubt.
Well, but I will say this, John.
Yeah.
A lot of the games that I see on TV, because I always make it a point to watch the Eagles when they have the ball when I'm at home. You know, normally I watch Red Zone, but when the Eagles get the ball, I watch on TV. And then I come in and watch the tape, and I always feel like he played a little better than people think when I watch the tape. Right. This was the first week when I watched the game on TV, and no question he wasn't very good on TV. And I came in and watched the tape, and I thought it was as bad or worse.
Sure, I can totally see that. But as you know, these quarterbacks, sometimes things can just unravel and they're not the same guy. You know,
they're unraveling a bit right now.
Yeah. You know, Greg, just real quick, it's just like bad O-line. He's got no confidence in his protection. And these guys they don't get open, as you know, Greg.
No, but
you know, they just don't get open.
You're 100% right. But here was the issue this week that has not showed up that much until this week is he's not seeing things. There were plays this week, throws to be had within the progression side of the field. And only he could tell you. I can't tell you what's in his head, but he did not turn the ball loose. And that becomes an issue.
100%. He's making the problem worse. I would argue the problem didn't start with him, but he's not dealing with it well. I just feel like, you know, I'm a Vikings fan. Hey, we'll take him. If the Eagles don't want him, Minnesota Viking fans will take him. I just feel like you put him in a different environment with some protection, a little bit of a running game.
Yeah, I mean, something's obviously up. The guy didn't lose his talent to the point where he can't play football, you know, so something's up.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there. Titan offense this week. How about Derrick Henry on the perimeter this past week, Greg? He was doing some things there on the outside a little bit. You notice that?
Well, what they try to do, and again, their O-line just dominated. We know DeForest Buckner was out, but their O-line played really good football. I thought their interior played their best game of the season as a unit. But what you try to do with Henry a lot is you try to get him on the move. You know, when I say on the move, on the edge a little bit, which is why they do outside zone, which we saw some pin pull, because if you can get him with 3, 4, 5 strides before there's a defender, then you really get him rolling downhill. Now, they had a specific plan against the Colts, which I won't get into because it's a visual thing, but they had a way to attack that Colts defensive front because the Colts defensive front is a defined front, you know, what they like to play, and they really attacked it well and did a really good job. But I would say, Henry, I think he had, I don't remember the number of carries he had, maybe 27. Does that ring a bell? But
yeah,
the point is, I would say over 20 of them, he was not even touched until he got second level and beyond the second level.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. 27 carries, 178. And it was the first carry of the damn game. I mean, he just, from moment one, he had plenty of space, room to navigate, you know, kept the feet moving, as you always know, and the rest is history. And then the rookie, Wilson, did he stand out at all? Because he's now starting, right?
He played 3 snaps this week, so I don't know.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Who was at right tackle then? Did Dennis somebody Kelly. Just get hurt? Okay, so Kelly, I
Same
guess.
Guy who's always played left tackle, right tackle. They had Quisenberry at left tackle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Wilson right. played 3 snaps. Now, I don't know what's going to happen this week. I can't imagine they're going to change that. They just came off a game where their O-line was pretty dominant. I can't imagine that's going to change.
Okay. Well, I didn't pick up on it.
They're playing Miles Garrett this week, and he's back. So, you know, that definitely necessitates some adjustments in your approach. But I would doubt they're going to start Isaiah Wilson at right tackle and move Dennis Kelly to left tackle. But
yeah. I'm looking at a depth chart that has him at right tackle with Quisenberry as a backup guard. So I thought maybe they made some sort of change this past week. I didn't pick up on that. But moving on here, Greg, real quick. In that game, I don't know if you noticed T.Y. Hilton. You know, everyone has said all year that he's done and all that. And I keep saying, like, I know he's not great for fantasy, but I don't think he's done.
I don't think he's done either.
Yeah, he still can separate a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just throwing it out there. Maybe he starts heating up because, you know, he always has been, not always, but I remember we loved him early in his career and he did have that time where he needed to get on the same page as Andrew Luck. So I'm wondering now if maybe in December he'll actually heat up a little bit now that he's had some time here and some reps with Phil.
Yeah. I mean, they move the ball around. I don't think, I know what you're saying and I don't think he's done, but I don't think it's the kind of thing where they're going to feed him. So I don't think he's going to become a high volume target guy. Like, I don't think all of a sudden he's going to, you know, have 12 targets, but I don't think he's done.
Right. He's kind of he's still prominent though in their offense.
I would agree. Pittman,
and Michael Pittman did have a bad game. He had some drops. Speaking of a bad game, well, I guess a mixed bag. I know you saw Baker Mayfield, but I'm, you know, as you know, on the DirecTV show, I'm commenting on live action. And,
right.
And there was a play where he rolls out to his left and the throw in the red zone, I think it was Higgins, is wide open. And I'm screaming, throw the ball. And then he threw it late and it was off target throw. I mean, is that Baker Mayfield in a nutshell? I mean,
he makes a couple of great throws and then he misses some. And he still plays a little fast. There are throws where he's very comfortable and it looks great. And I just think to myself, God, why can't he do that all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see that play, though? Where it's
of course I did. I watched the tape.
But, I mean, it was an egregious non-throw. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, and plus he missed some throws with poor ball placement that were wide open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just throwing it out there. And you've been at this for a long time. How freaking great is Nick Chubb? I mean, you got to be kidding me. Stack boxes doesn't matter. It's unreal.
Yeah, I love Nick Chubb.
I mean, what is it about him? I just feel like it's an intuitive. I mean, he's a big, powerful man, moves well, but he's got such an intuitive feel for that running game, man. He is a professional runner.
Oh, without question. I mean, I think he's a great cutback runner. I think he's got great patience, vision. He's got outstanding short area explosiveness. He can reaccelerate. He's one of those guys that can reaccelerate. He gets back to speed and power in one step. He's just a really, really good back. And you lose, he's 225 pounds. He's a powerful man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's going to be good for another several years for sure. Hope
so.
How about James Robinson? I'm always a little wary. I know you saw that.
I did watch James Robinson.
Yeah. I'm always a little wary of these guys who kind of come out of nowhere and surprise us. Usually the sample size increases. You move on to the next year. and you realize, oh, okay, now I see why the kid wasn't drafted. But I don't know, man, with James Robinson, this is unbelievable how impressive he's been. There's no rookie wall at all with this guy.
Here's to you, Mr. Robinson.
That's right. Yeah.
And in the Jags offense, he's a volume runner, John. I mean, he carries the ball 100%. A lot.
Fantasy owners love him more than he would know, Greg.
There you go. There you go.
Cuckoo-ca-choo. Yeah.
Cuckoo-ca-choo. I mean, he's more straight line than overly shifty and elusive, but I'd say he's patient. I'd say he's decisive. He's got a desirable combination of those two things. He gets downhill with urgency. He doesn't mess around. He runs hard. He runs with leg drive. He's got pretty strong finishing traits because he's short, but I wouldn't say he's small.
Right, right.
I like him.
By the way.
I like what I've seen. He's your classic case of a guy where, you know, people say, well, anybody can run the ball. Well, yeah, maybe they can, but he looks pretty good on tape.
Yeah, he really does. By the way, wasn't Anne Bancroft Mrs. Robinson in the film?
Of course.
Yeah. Went to high school with my father.
Really?
In the Bronx.
Of course, and it was Anne Bancroft. An iconic role.
Yep, yep. And wow. So Anne Bancroft, I can't believe we went here, but I didn't realize this. Anne Bancroft was married to Mel Brooks, and that's Max Brooks's mom. Look at that. Did you know that?
You mean Max Brooks, the political reporter?
Well, yeah, that's Mel Brooks' son.
Yeah. I know that.
Well, apparently Anne Bancroft is their mother. I had no idea.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, she was married to Mel Brooks for a long time, right?
Actually, no.
She was married. Who did she end up being married to?
Was it Paul Newman?
No. I'll look that up while we're talking football, John.
I can't believe we went off on this, but
this is what we do.
What happened. It's what we do. This is what we do. We go into little rabbit holes once in a while here. Yeah. Real quick, I know you got to run in a moment. Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, any thoughts on the performances? I'm a little worried about Josh Allen. Without John Brown, they do not – I've noticed this. We've noticed it. They don't push that ball down the field quite
They did not push it down the field this week. It's interesting you say that. They had just one or two where I thought the route concepts were really vertical. But other than that, I did not feel that way watching that tape.
You know, for fantasy, when John Brown's there, Allen averages 27 fantasy points a game. Without Brown, it goes down 17.
And they didn't play as many snaps out of 10 personnel with four wide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, Greg, we can end it there. And again, just a taste – and just a teaser here for the matchup.
And we can talk some old movies too, if you like, John.
I mean, we can absolutely do that. You know how it is though, living, you're from New York. My family, entire family's from New York. You're from New York and you have like even a decent sized family. Odds are, you know, someone famous. Right? you grew up with someone.
I kind of did have an uncle who was famous.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. His name was, no, just kidding. It's like my cousin grew up with John Travolta in Inglewood, New Jersey. You know, there's all kinds of crap. We could do this all day. We'll do a podcast on that.
I know. We could absolutely do that.
Let's do a name drop podcast.
Are you a big movie guy, John?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So
why? No, oh, I thought there was a follow up.
You know, back in the day, you know, like in the late 60s, early 70s, because one of my favorite movies, and then we'll wrap up. And I believe it was an early Scorsese film, was Mean Streets.
Right, right.
I've
only seen it once. Well, that's De Niro too, right?
Yeah. I only saw that Harvey Keitel as well.
Oh, I love Harvey Keitel.
Really good movie. It takes place in New York. That's why I thought of it when you mentioned New York.
100%. 100%. All right, Greg,
Greenwich Village. You remember that movie?
Oh, absolutely. Eric Roberts.
And Mickey
love
Rourke.
Eric Roberts.
And Mickey Rourke.
And Mickey Rourke. 100%. 100%. Yep. That's good stuff. But, you know, the Lords of Flatbush, Greg, when that movie came out, they actually shot a couple scenes in Flatbush when I lived there. I was like 6 years old when that movie came out.
My grandmother on my dad's side lived on Flatbush Avenue.
I lived on Notion Avenue right off of Flatbush Avenue.
There you go. She lived across the street from the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens.
I mean, I literally lived like four blocks from there. That's where I was born.
Yeah.
Flatbush, Brooklyn. Not too far from where the Dodgers used to play, they should have played, where the Brooklyn basketball team plays now. That's the site of where the Dodgers should have played, the stadium. Anyway, Greg, I can't believe we went on a bunch of different little trajectories here, but we'll do a name drop podcast March.
And then tomorrow when we do the streaming with Mr. C, we'll go heavy football, John.
Yeah. He's got some name drops that he can bust out as well. It's a bunch of name droppers here, but we own it. At least I do. That'll wrap it up here. Great stuff, Greg. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the live stream. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. This has been the Week 13 Fantasy Points Matchup Points Podcast at fantasypoints.com.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.